here to discuss all things NRL and anything sports related. Please give a warm Aussie g'day to the footy fanatic and America's own Corey Jackson in Outside the Sheds.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome back to Outside the Sheds. Shedheads, I cannot believe we are already through three rounds of the 2024 NRL season. AFL has kicked off as well. But I cannot believe we're already three rounds through this. It just feels like I was in Vegas, a week ago. But we're three rounds in. The game is flying. Numbers are through the roof right now. It has been a great start to the season. A very, very exciting start to the season. And I think that the NRL has rode that wave that Peter Vlandis, Andrew Abdo were hoping that the Vegas excursion was going to kickstart the NRL movement. And it feels like it really has. Ask the folks down in the Rumble Islands down there in New Zealand if that's the case. Now, let's go into round three. Let's catch up with some of the scores here, go into some of the things that happened, and really attack this right now. Because some major things have happened, some huge injuries have happened, and there's a lot for us to cover on this week's episode. We started off with the grand final rematch to start off round three. Panthers, Broncos. A lot of people had a lot of excitement. I know that both clubs are not where they wanted to be going into this match right now. But Panthers 34, Broncos 12. The Panthers dominated this game. They really, really did. And I know that Adam Reynolds was out. But I think the entire match changed on a moment's notice when Reese Walsh got headbutted from the front. I will say this right now, Shedheads. There was no type of malicious intent in that tackle. Yes, there was the player left his feet to make contact, but I think he was bracing for impact when he made the contact and kind of jumped up. And I think he also didn't want to headbutt Reese Walsh any more than Reese Walsh wanted to be headbutted. But it was a vicious, vicious looking play. It really had a reminiscence of a little bit of NHL as Reese Walsh was on all fours and there was blood pooling and hitting the ground. But I knew instantly from that contact that he was done for the rest of the match. I was shocked that the Broncos were even mentally thinking about putting him back out there on the field. But they said that his vision was blurry. But there was no way that Reese Walsh, they were going to take a chance to put him back out on the field after that type of contact. But after that moment and Reese Walsh went off, now without Reynolds, without Walsh, it was just a done deal. And the Panthers pretty much rode away. Now, something that happened when they pulled Nathan Cleary off the field, a lot of people thought they were just resting Nathan Cleary towards the end of the game, I think around the 70th minute. But again, another hamstring injury for Nathan Cleary. It's a strain, so they're only thinking he's going to be out for maybe 4 weeks, depending. They're going to check him out. They've got a bye in two more rounds after this. So they're going to rest him, see what it looks like. But really, the Panthers look like the club that everyone thought they were going to become, and they're back on track. Warriors 18, Raiders 10, in front of a sold-out crowd down in Christchurch, which I love to see. I told you guys last week it was going to be very, very interesting to see in a city that is pretty much dominated by the Crusaders of Super Rugby what was going to happen when the boys from the north came and invaded that city. The Warriors did everything they needed to. There is a lot of rumblings down in New Zealand that Super Rugby and Rugby Union is kind of falling on hard times and maybe a little bit out of favor in the country. I find that very, very hard to believe. We know rugby is the passion. It's the lifeblood of New Zealand. But I can't even put into words. I'm so excited when I say it's so cool to see the Warriors and Rugby League embrace the way that it has been in New Zealand. Sold out crowd again for the Waz, and they produced beating the Raiders 18-10. A great match. The Warriors showed some resolve. Again, Ricky's boys were down there to play. They pushed the Warriors all the way through, but the Warriors found a way to win that match. But again, so great to see New Zealand coming out. The Waz, you'd have to say they're the rock stars of New Zealand right now. Now, the big match that we were talking about last week, Roosters, Rabbitohs, the Book of Feuds, let the hate flow, blah, 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 did not turn out to anything like that. The Rabbitohs are in trouble. Mark my words right now, Shedheads. This is going to be a tough season for South Sydney. But the Roosters dominate 48-6, and it probably wasn't even that close. You know what? When you watch a match like that, Shedheads, you want to see a tight match. You want to see, because the tighter the match, the more emotion gets brought into the equation, right? And there just wasn't a lot of emotion in that match. I'm saying the biggest emotion to me was JWH experiencing his 300th game, which we're going to talk about in more detail in a little bit. But that was it. Really, the Chooks looked so much more the dominant, informed club. And I know the Rabbitohs were a slow-starting club to the season, but last year I think they were in first place going into this round, and they're so far from that right now. And it culminated with Luttrell getting sent off for 10 minutes in the second half, and it just was a sad state for the Rabbitohs. But on the other end, Roosters looked fine. They looked like they're ready to play. I really thought that they were going to be definitely in the top four at the end of the season, and I think minus some injuries, they're going to be there. Bulldogs 32, Titans 0. The Dogs of War show up at Belmore. I got to tell you something. I know the rabid fan base that Canterbury has, but wow. I don't know if anybody expected them to put it all together. Kikau was dominating people. He was intimidating people. If you're a Bulldogs fan, you've been waiting for this for seasons now. And you saw that club firing. Man, they looked good. But I think as well as the fan base of Canterbury is feeling, the Titans are really, really struggling. And it's really sad. They lost their captain. Tino goes down with a knee injury. And they were never in the contest. So I don't know. You know, I have a lot of faith in Dez Hasler. I'm a big fan of Dez Hasler. I'm saying he was the coach of maybe one of the most fun clubs that I ever watched, that 2011 Manly club with Killer and the Prince of Brookvale. I think he's a good coach, but there's just something going on at Gold Coast. I'm hoping with Jaden Campbell coming back this week that the Titans get reinvigorated and start attacking like I think they have the capabilities of doing. Cowboys 46, Dragons 24. The Cows, here's the crazy thing. The Cows were in deep trouble in this match. And if St. George gets the try down when it looked like they were going to go up 24 to, I think, 4-6 at that time, it's a different match. But with the bumbling in the goal line, it just woke up the Cows. And the Cowboys just charged after that, and it was never close after that point. And the Cowboys are 3-0. To me, they're the cream of the crop right now in the NRL. I know they've had to come back in a couple matches, but they look and feel like they're playing with house money right now. And I think they're only going to get better. But I think North Queensland is set for a really, really special season. Now the question on the other end is, now seeing how bad the Gold Coast is, are we really still as excited about St. George as we were at one time? I'm saying that they can put together some incredible footy. They looked great in the first part of the game against North Queensland. But I've got to say, I don't know. And I know Flano is the type of coach that preaches defense. They've got to get harder. They've got to get meaner. They've got to get more physical. And I know that that's what with Flano is trying to bring to St. George, but they just have not shown a hardness for a few seasons now, and they've got to have that if they're going to get back to where their fan base wants them to be. So Cowboys dominating with that 46-24 victory. Tigers 32, Sharks 6, Magic and Leichhardt, even though we've got a lot to talk about Leichhardt in a little bit, but the Tigers look so good. They looked so good. It was a breath of fresh air seeing a West Tigers club excited. They played defense like we haven't seen a Tigers club play for a while, for quite a long time. It was a really, really, really great moment if you're a Tigers fan to see the Tigers playing that way at the eighth wonder of the world, Leichhardt Oval. But at the same time, the Sharkies not really ever looking like they were in the match. I'm saying they were pestering Nico Hines. That was probably one of the worst games I've seen Nico have for a while. He just seemed like he was unsettled the entire match, and the Tigers capitalized. And I'm going to go into more detail about this because I was so excited to see a Tigers team, for one, excited, but playing with the type of energy that I was hoping they were going to have under the tutelage of Benji Marshall. Eels 28, Seagulls 24. Eels handling Manly their first loss of the season. We know, Dom, you told me time and time again, the rivalry between the Eels and the Seagulls, it's years and years and years and years in the making. I will say that this match, of all the matches in this round, felt the most like a finals match. I'm saying they were finishing their hits. People were attacking the line. It was probably the match of the round, even in intensity. But wow. Now, the problem is sometimes when you go to war like that, like both clubs did, some teams, maybe both, are going to take injuries out of it. And that's a huge, huge setback. What this victory cost the Eels a lot, because Mitchell Moses, now going to be lost for 2 months with a fracture in his foot. That could be something major. But hey, maybe there's a fire on the horizon. Hint, hint, Blaze. And finally, Knights 14, Storm 12. Wow. I don't know. I think I was really caught off guard just a few days before that match even played, when word came out that Jackson Hastings was going to be rested, or how should I say, stood down and sent to New South Wales Cup. That kind of threw me off. But again, they got, Adam O'Brien got the result that he was looking for. Kalen Ponga, I will say, that was the most energy I've seen from him all season. He was everywhere. He seemed like he was the Ferrari that Newcastle needs if they're going to actually compete and win these type of matches. And again, there's only so much you can do if you're the Storm. I'm saying you're down Cameron Munster already for injury. Jerome Hughes has sat down because of, him hitting a referee, I should say, tapping one on the back and him going over like he was shot by a sniper rifle. But I did find it hard to believe, and that's why I did pick the Knights to win that, because I just thought it was going to be too much for them to overcome without at least having either Hughes or Munster in the halves. And again, Pappenhausen led. They fought back. They got it. They got the match close, but they just couldn't get over the top. And the Knights held on to get their victory that they so much needed to get their season back on track. Now, I'm going to say something right now as we go on a deeper dive of round three. That multicultural round probably should have been changed this year to called casualty ward round, because I don't know if I've seen such big names go down in one round. And guys and players going down that could really could affect these clubs going forward. Because I think what we've noticed with the NRL this season is every team has a chance to make the eight, all right? And I know there's a couple clubs right now, South Sydney's 0-3, but we've seen them get on a streak too where they've rifled off 6, 7, 8 victories in a row, all right? So I think right now, the parity that's being shown, yes, you've got some of the cream still in the competition, we know that. But with the Tigers, how they just played against the Sharks, You know, St. George does not look great, but they've got a victory on the, you know, it's crazy how important each match is. And you just can't let up this season if you're going to really make that push for the eight. But with these names that are down, I'm saying this is pretty incredible. And I was going to go over this with you, shedheads. Nathan Cleary, hamstring, 4 weeks. Reese Walsh, facial fracture, 4 to 6 weeks. And I know it didn't happen during the round, but Payne Haas with his knee is out 4 to 5 weeks. Mitchell Moses, broken foot, fractured foot, however you want to say it, 8 to 9 weeks. Tino, you're going to kill me. Tino Fonus, I don't know. Big Tino, we're just going to say it. When I'm up at Gold Coast, and we'll talk about this here soon, you guys are going to have to teach me how to say this name properly because I'm doing one of the best players in the game a grave injustice. I will learn this. I will get it down. But gosh, it's tackling me right now. But Tino, ACL, done for the season. Dale Finucane, fractured eye socket, 3 to 4 weeks. Toby Rudolph, ankle, 3 to 6 weeks. Royce Hunt, calf, 4 to 5 weeks. Lindsey Collins, hamstring, to be determined. They say he's already running, so that's good for Robbo and the Chooks. But Lindsey Collins is out this week. Sandon Smith, elbow, 4 to 6 weeks. And Tanny, Tuipeke, there we go, I got it. Ha-ha, Tuipeke, concussion, out this week. Now, that does open the door for RTS, but look, I'm saying that is an incredible list of players right now. And I'm just listing mostly all the players that got hurt during the round. Not players that got hurt during training, but just guys that went down during this round. And I'm going to say, of all the clubs we're looking at right now, I know Blaze is going to fill in for Mitchell Moses, and I know that the club is really excited about that. I know that Nathan Cleary plays for Penrith. We know that they just continue to just put guys in. But let's go down to the Cronulla Sharks. That's $3 million worth of player that is out with those three players being out. And they've got a tough match this week, Cronulla. So it's not like they're just going to slide back in there. And you know, unlike the Penrith system, I think Cronulla's in trouble. Now, I'm not saying that they're not going to make the eight, but I think this is going to be a tough few weeks for Cronulla. And it's really going to fall on the shoulders even more of Nico Hines to steer this team around. It's going to be tough to see, and I'm very, very interested to see which clubs may fall off and which clubs actually kind of step up and fill in those roles and fill in those places because they're not injured. So, big round. We'll call it casually ward round. Sorry, multicultural round. I told you how much I love you last week, but I think you've been replaced for this season with casualty ward round. Now, I told you I was going to go in a deep dive about the Tigers. Very excited about the victory that they had over Cronulla at Leichhardt Oval. I'm going to say this right now. That was the best defensive game I've seen the West Tigers play for very much a long time. Maybe ever in my 14 years covering the game. There was a grittiness. I don't want to say dirty. There was a grittiness about the Tigers where they finished their tackles. They swarmed. And that's the thing that I don't think I've seen a Tigers club do. Every time somebody had the ball for Cronulla, there was multiple Tiger jerseys around them. Their chase was down pat. They flowed towards the ball. They chased. They attacked. They challenged. And I don't think we can say that the Tigers have ever been known to that. The Tigers have always been known as a fun, loving, throw the ball around type of club. And I think two factors came out of this that I thought, one of them I said was going to be the case, but Appy Curacao, this guy, it comes out afterwards that he was sick for the match. Who would have never known? 42 tackles, 2 try assists. It was a performance that Appy had that was, it was pretty incredible. But again, Appy's not much of a talker, right? He's never been much of a talker. He's a fun-loving guy, but he's never been much of a talker. I think one of the major reasons the Tigers brought him back in is because he's got winning pedigree. He's got a winner's heart. He's a winner, okay? And I know that it was tough for him last season, how bad the Tigers played, but you never once heard Appy complain, right? He just put his head down and tried to lead through training and the way that he played on the field. But the other major component and why I'm so excited is the man in the seven, Aiden Caesar. His kick game was so on point. And I think we watch, when you watch the greats, Cleary, Mitchell Moses, the way that they can dictate and change a game, the way that they can control the game by kicking to the corners, putting kicks back, putting the other team always behind the eight ball to start sets. And that's what you got from Aiden Caesar. He's never the most flashy. He's never the biggest guy on the field. But he has a way of maestroing it. He has a way of conducting traffic and doing what he needed to do. And with another partner with him, young in the halves, he is so key to me. I think if Aiden Caesar stays healthy, I think the Tigers are going to have an all right season. I don't think they're going to make the eight, but I think it will be one of the best seasons that we've had at the West Tigers for a very, very long time. And that's saying something because, whew, it has been a tough stretch. I'm saying, my gosh, the Tigers haven't been in the finals since 2011. So that's a long time. That's just, it's incredible to think how long it's been since the Tigers have been in the eight. Now, the only one black eye on the night was watching Benji and the boys celebrating in the sheds, trying to sing the new song after their victory. They had the cheat sheets out. But I'm going to say, hats off to the Tigers. Who cares? You know, that you got to sing the song is what matters. And they sang it with full throat, even though using their cheat sheets. But a great day for the West Tigers. Great scenes from Leichhardt Oval. I know we're going to talk about Leichhardt here again when we get into the 40-20. But just really, 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 really good to see the Tigers being able to do what they did. Now, I got to talk about the shellacking, what's going on with the Bunnies. We need to, you know, for a match that I talked so much about last week, we need to go into a deeper dive. And that was a shellacking that the Bunnies took. That was bad. I don't want to say that South Sydney didn't show any type of heart, but for a game like the Book of Feuds, that type of rivalry, the oldest rivalry in the game, you just expect a lot more from that club. And I know Jason Demetriou set everything off on a wrong or a different step by the some of the kind of moves with kind of removing Lachie Ilias, starting Cookie off the bench. That was just strange. You usually don't make those type of big type of calls on your roster going into a match like that. And I just thought that was really strange. I thought that showed South Sydney was grabbing at straws a little bit, right? That wasn't moves of a confident team that might have gone down. Like, you would have never seen Penrith make drastic moves like that, because Penrith would have continued to believe in the system, right? The system. But that wasn't the case at all. Those moves were made, and it was almost like the Roosters sensed that South Sydney wasn't out there with the bravado and the luster that you usually get from that type of club. And they rode right over the top of them. And so if you're a Chooks fan, it was a great night. But to me, the most exciting part of the entire evening was fan favorite and all-time enforcer for the Roosters, Jared Warrior Hargraves, celebrating his 300th game. I got to tell you, this guy is a man amongst boys in a lot of ways. A lot of people thought that Jared was going to retire 2 years ago. He's still flowing. He is the heartbeat of the Sydney Roosters. I know Teddy is the face, Teddy is the captain, but JWH, they're a different club when JWH is not there in the lineup. There's just a lack of brutality. There's a lack of hardness that goes with that club. And I know Lindsey Collins has played great with the Sydney Roosters since he's been there, but JWH, there's just something about that enforcer. He started the game in 2010. He did that 1 year at Manly. And don't forget, folks, 2010 is a big, 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 big year for Outside the Sheds, because that's when the Shed Adamus got into the game itself. Now, it is a tad bittersweet, and we've got to talk about the truth that this is JWH's last season with the Chooks. He is, after this year, going over to play, I think, one season. I think that's what he signed up for, with the Hull Kingston Rovers, with the Robins over there. So, yeah, it was exciting. It was great to see the smile, him running out with his kids was so awesome. But it was bittersweet for me because I know this is, I've only got so many rounds left with JWH in the Tricolors uniform. And so anyway, so proud, so happy that he got to have that. I wish I could have watched him play live in Vegas. That was kind of tough for me to see, but he was there. He was sitting there on the bench, and I think that shows you how important JWH is to the Sydney Roosters. They still brought him along, even though he couldn't play in that match. So, congratulations to Jared. Congratulations to the Sydney Roosters, because that was an incredible match they played, and it was straight top-notch on their part. Now, as we go into the 4-20, this is kind of big, because I've got to tell you something. One of the beautiful things about this last round, multicultural round, was that so many of the matches were at the parks, at the stadiums, the lifeblood of a lot of these clubs, right? And I don't think there's another club that more embraces that than the West Tigers and Leichhardt, the eighth wonder of the world. And watching the Tigers play there, watching the hill full, watching the old grandstand and the score. What am I trying to say? Where they keep score, all right? Leave me alone, shitheads. It is a special place, and it is so cool to see Tigers matches there. Okay, enough being said. Now, after the match got over, the powers that be with the West Tigers started to say, and they spoke up, that they really feel that there needs to be money put into Leichhardt Oval for the Tigers to stay there. A lot of people have forgotten that last year a railing broke at the stadium, and some people got injured. Some patrons got injured watching the match as that railing gave way. So, yes, Leichhardt is in need, big-time need of renovations. It needs money put into it. But the Tigers are starting to say, and this is kind of disheartening, but they're starting to say that after this season, if they don't get money to put it into that stadium to build it back up, that they're not going to play matches at Leichhardt. And that is so insane for me to even think about. I'm saying, and I'm a guy that's only 14 years in the game. I know people that have watched, the Tigers there for years at Leichhardt. So the powers that be, Scott Fulton came out, made a pitch towards the New South Wales government, and the New South Wales government came back strongly saying that they have money for other things that are important and way more important than trying to fix up a football stadium. So, with that being said, Shane Richardson and the Tigers may be leaving Leichhardt Oval, and I can't really believe it, especially after what we just saw. And I know things happen, things change. A lot of people would say you never thought Yankee Stadium would ever close down here in Major League Baseball over here in the Divided States. But watching something that is a spiritual home to a club being threatened, that this could be the last four or five games left that we see at, the Tigers running out on that field, it's sad. But it wakes you up that it's still a business. And with it being a business, you've got to make sure your patrons are safe. You've got to make sure that you have adequate facilities, bathrooms, aka. And those punters, man, they've got to have a beer. So you got to make sure that it doesn't take them 15 to 20 minutes to buy a beer. So it's going to be interesting to watch on this front. If Leichhardt continues to flow, if they get the money or if they get donations, whatever they need to do to try to save it, to try to get it up to par where a lot of people think that it needs to be. So, interesting story and something we'll be covering for the rest of the season. Now, after his long car ride back home to Brisbane because of his facial fractures, the Hollywood boy himself, Reese Walsh, finally got some good news. It has now come out that Reese Walsh will not need to have facial surgery. And that is huge because since he doesn't have to have facial surgery, Reese Walsh could be back in 2 weeks playing for the Broncos. And I don't, you know, Tristan Saylor is going to play in the fullback position tonight. This weekend. I guess he's not playing tonight for the Bronx. But if they can get Reese Walsh back in a couple of weeks, this could really maybe change the fortune of a Brisbane club that is really, they're really in dire straits of needing some positive news. And it's going to be tough for them because, you know, you've got the Derby this weekend against the Cowboys, and how the Cows are playing right now with Payne Haas out and with Reese Walsh, that could get nasty this weekend. But that is really good news. Once the swelling goes all the way down and he gets a little bit of healing, that we could be seeing Reese Walsh back sooner than we were expecting. So great news for you if you're a Broncos fan and for the Bronx themselves. Now, Shedheads, this next story, I'm going to have to say, this is all about me. All right, I'm joking. It's all about the game. And what I mean by that is he's back. And not Desi. I'm not going to break into my favorite song about Desi Hasler, but one of my favorite players in the history of the game, RTS, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, will be in the number one jersey when the Warriors run out this weekend against the Newcastle Knights. That's right, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who left the game of rugby league back in 2021 to go and join the Auckland Blues to try to live his dream of putting on that All Blacks jersey like pretty much every kid that grows up in New Zealand. He's back. And so I was happy that he was going to be back with the Warriors no matter what. Okay, let's be honest. To have a player of his magnitude back in that side, because I think we were already expecting big things for the Warriors anyway. But to see him run out in that number one jersey this weekend is going to be, it's going to be surreal, because I think a lot of people didn't know were they ever going to see RTS back in the rugby league world, back in the NRL. And that he's going to be back in his preferred position of fullback. I just can't wait to watch to see what that's like. Now, the crazy thing about this is it could be a one-week trial, because Chance Nichols-Klockstad is going to be back next week because they say that he's about ready to be cleared from all of his injuries. So I don't know what you do. I'm saying if RTS comes out and has a blazer this weekend and just freaking goes crazy, the Warriors are firing on all cylinders, and they blow the Newcastle Knights out, do you really make that move and put RTS back in the centers? I don't know. I think that's why I'm saying. I think Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, the ball is in his court. And if he plays the way that I think he can play, maybe he doesn't give up that number one jersey. Maybe he keeps it for a while, if not the whole season. So this is going to be a big match for him, because if he doesn't like playing in centers, and he's never really complained about playing in centers, but I know fullback is his favorite position, it's going to be interesting because I think he's going to come out guns a-blazing, and it's going to be fun to watch. So let's talk about round four. But before we can talk about round four, Shedheads, we have to talk about how the Shed Adamus got back in the groove, don't we? We got to talk about it. That's right. The Shed Adamus went 6-for-8 last week. All right? As the great Matty Johns would say, we're going to have some shrimp. We're going to have some prawns with that type of numbers. And it took me a couple weeks to get back in the flow. It took me a couple weeks to start feeling the game, as they would say. But we did. We're back. I felt pretty strong about that. This week, I'm feeling really strong about the picks again, too. So starting off Thursday, or in a matter of hours, we've got the Panthers versus the Roosters. Now, Hollywood Walker is going to be back playing in the halves. A lot of people thought he was going to be out this week because of concussion protocol, but he is back. It's the 11th day on the nose for Luke Keary, so he's cleared concussion protocol, and he'll be in the halves. So you're going to have Keary and Walker in the halves. I just think it's too much for the Panthers, and I know we just keep putting pieces back in there, but I think in all likelihood, the Roosters, the Chooks, they need a big victory over Penrith. They've not had a victory over Penrith for a little bit, but I think the Roosters showed their pedigree and beat the Penrith Panthers to kick off round four. On Friday, we've got the Bulldogs and the Rabbitohs, and who would have thought 2 weeks ago that we'd be thinking that this would be a must-win game for the Bunnies and that the Bulldogs would be the team that we think, wow, I'm going with Canterbury, because that's what I'm doing. I'm riding it. I'm taking the Dogs. I'm thinking we're going to see the Dogs of War again. That's right. I said it. The Dogs over the Rabbitohs. They keep the misery going for Jason Demetriou. Dogs over the Rabbitohs to start off Friday. And then we've got the Derby. Cowboys versus the Broncos. Adam Reynolds back for the Broncos. But the Cows. I don't think right now, if they play the way we've watched them play the first 3 weeks of the season, I think the Cowboys make this a statement game. I think North Queensland comes out to hurt Brisbane. I think they come out to embarrass Brisbane. And I think that's what they'll do. I think the Cows win this, and they win it pretty easily. Saturday, Sea Eagles versus the Dragons. I think, personally, after the tough loss they had against the Parramatta Eels, I think the Sea Eagles, again, this could be another pain game. I think they're going to come out to try to hurt the St. George Illawarra Dragons. And I think it could get really, really nasty. And I think it could get testy, too, in the match. But I think the Sea Eagles rebound after their loss and continue some more misery down for the Dragons. And then Saturday, finishing it off, we've got the Dolphins versus the Titans, another Queensland skirmish. And I'm going to have to say this. I'm not betting against Clint Eastwood. I think the Dolphins, again, it's going to be nice to see Jaden Campbell back. But I just think with the loss of Tino, I think Desi's got his hands full. And I think the Dolphins are flowing right now. And I think Flipper's going upstream. So up the fins, I got the Dolphins over the Titans. Sunday, Knights versus the Warriors. We've got another rematch from the finals round from last year. I told you, I just went into a diatribe on how excited I was for RTS to be back in that number one jersey. I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. We see that Up the Waz is just sweeping the nation. And then I think that the New Zealand Warriors beat the Knights. But it'll be exciting to watch RTS against Kalen Ponga in the Battle of the Halves. But I'm taking the Warriors up the Waz, up the Waz. And then we're still on Sunday, shitheads. Raiders versus the Sharks. At first I was thinking that I was going to lean towards Cronulla, but after the injuries with the big boys for them, I'm going with Ricky's boys. I think the Raiders, I think Ricky will have a great week of practice for the boys. And I think that the Green Machine gets off the losing streak of one game, and it stops at one game, and they beat the Cronulla Sharks. And then we've got the match. I've been to this, Shedheads. I've been to this match, the Easter Monday match between the Tigers versus the Eels. I was there with Dom and the fam. The Tigers had me. I contacted the Tigers. They brought me in and I'm being serious when I say this, as a guest of honor. I got to hold up the banner, and it was really cool because that was Benji's, his last season, I think that was, with the Tigers. So I got this, you know, the great one ran right past me as I was up on the field. Great time. Shed Adamus was quite proud wearing a neon orange hat. But either way, they actually got the victory that match too. So I got to gloat all the way back against Dom and the fam. But Tigers versus the Eels. I am going to take the Tigers. I am. I said I wasn't going to pick them, but I'm taking them because I think right now we go back with the thing that I say is so important, and that is halves combinations. Appy's going to be healthy. And I know Blaze, I know Eels fans are really excited about Blaze being in the halves with Dylan. but I think that the Tigers are going to show something. And I think they're going to get the victory on Easter Monday and make it two in a row. I can't believe I just said that. Two in a row for the Tigers. I think they get the victory on Easter Monday. Now, gun of the round. I know this is feeling like a black and orange episode of Outside the Sheds because we're so pro West Tigers after what they did this last week. But my gun of the round was the sick and hobbling Appy Curaçao, 3-for-3 for conversions, 1 penalty goal, 76 running meters, 2 line breaks, 2 try assists, 3 tackle breaks, and 42 tackles made. Let's say that again. 42 tackles made by little Appy Curaçao. To say that this man did not leave it all on the line, even though he was feeling like he'd rather jump on a grenade and end it quickly, he didn't do that at all. He led from the front, and he helped the Tigers get in the win column. Appy, you're my gun of the round. Great, great, great match, and I hope you're feeling a heck of a lot better. Shedheads, again, 3 rounds complete. We are now starting to get in our groove a little bit, but until next week, please treat your fellow Australians, your fellow Kiwis. We'll try to do it by treating our fellow Americans right. If you're not feeling yourself, it's okay. Just stay, persevere, stay strong, reach out to a mate, reach out to a friend. But hopefully, we just got to spend some time to put a smile on your face. But a little bit of, okay, I didn't tell you this. This might be the last episode that we have for the month of April. I may pop back in because Mrs. Shedadamas and myself are on the Freedom Bird out of here in a few days, and we're heading back down under. We'll be spending some time in Tasmania. We'll be spending some time on the mainland. Really, really, really excited about that. We're going to go up, and we're going to be with the Gold Coast Titans. We might have some important things to talk about in the near future when I come back about possibly some guests being on Outside the Sheds. So we're really excited. It's a really exciting time for me. I'm excited for this trip. I love going down under, and I mean flying down under, if you know what I mean. It's one of my favorite places, if not my favorite place to go to. We've even talked about possibly moving there. So excited. But because of that, you might not hear this great voice that gets you invigorated week after week. But until next time, Shedheads, stay safe. This is Corey Jackson. You've been listening Outside the Sheds. See ya!
And that was another fantastic episode of Outside the Sheds with Corey Jackson, talking all things NRL and all things sports. So please remember to smash the subscribe button and share this with your family and friends and show them what Australian sport is all about.